Amen. We'll continue with what God is saying to us. And again, I'm asking the Lord if there's another word.
Padayon ta sa mga paghisgot o gani ngayon na sad ko sa Ginoo giya unsa ni mga pulo nga may pambitya kanina.
And I'm in bed and I'm sleeping and I hear this one little phrase.
Niya samtang naghigda siya sa iya higdanan, niabot kaniya kining usa ka pulong.
I will give power.
Padayon ko ikaw gahom.
Now you know where that is, don't you? Do you know the Lord is going to give power? Amen. And actually, it's in the Bible. It's Revelation 11. It's verse 3. And it says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Amen. Now, this verse, the word power is not exactly in the Greek. What it actually literally says in Greek is, "And I will give." But that isn't a complete sentence in English. So the word power was put in here because it is the proper word. Because in verse 6 it says, "And these have power to shut the heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy." And they have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So it is okay to say, "I will give power to my two witnesses." Now, brother has been studying Elijah. He told me the Lord is stirring him about Elijah. And if you understand what's written here in this sixth verse, you will understand that this sounds a lot like an Elijah ministry, doesn't it? Amen. So, maybe we could talk about Elijah if you remind me to come back to power. So if I ask you later, Rudy, where are we going, you're going to say, "We're coming back to power." But let's look at Elijah for a minute, since we've opened the can. Jesus, you know, went up on the mount and he was transfigured in glory.
kausaban siya panagway adunay himaya nga nakita.
And Elijah and Moses were there with him.
Naingon nga si Elias ug si Moses nakauban adunay panahon.
And after they got down, the disciples said to Jesus, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And of course, the scribes say Elijah must come first because of what it says in Malachi. And in Malachi, it says, in the last two verses, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And verse 6, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse."
Ani ang karon, ako'y padala kaninyo si Elias ang manalagna. Sa dili pa moabot ang dako ug makarilisang nga adlaw ni Yuba. Ug iyang pabalikon ang kasing-kasing sa mga amahan ngadto sa mga bata, ug ang kasing-kasing sa mga bata ngadto sa ilang mga amahan. Tingali unya ko muanhi ko samaran ko ang yuta pinagi sa usa ka pangimaraon.
So it seems that the pattern of God is to send Elijah before Christ.
Musa ko dapo kanaw na diya sa ulagway na gisibo diya sa Ginoo nga una moabot si Elias sa dili pa si Ginoo Hesus.
Now, there's the term before the day of the Lord.
Adunay termino diya nga adlaw sa Dios.
And there's the term before the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Nyanapo diya kung disgusto na termino nga adlaw sa panahon nga di pa mabuo panahon sa Dios.
So, let me ask you the question: have we yet seen the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord?
Nakita na ba nato sa kapungtan na ba? Nakita na ba nato ng adlaw sa kaya ang panahon adlaw sa Dios?
Actually, it says dreadful. It means the same thing, or the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Grabe na dikaw ng kapaitan ng mabut.
Has that day come?
Nagabot na ba na?
Not yet. Did the Lord send Elijah before the day of the Lord when it wasn't yet the dreadful day of the Lord? Yes, he did. And how did he send Elijah? Because his name was John the Baptist. Yeah, come now. Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah. He said it more than once. He said it at least twice. It's recorded in at least two different places in Matthew. Now they're going to make me read it. Who found the verse where they went up on the mountain and he was transfigured? Or is it in Luke? I thought it was Matthew. I can almost quote it word for word, but I suppose I should read it. The key word is transfigured. Are you looking in Luke chapter 9? Is that where we're going to find it?
transfiguration?
Matthew 17. All right, let's. Oh, Mark 9. Which is the best one?
Mark 9.
No, I think I'll go for Matthew. Because he said more in Matthew.
And was transfigured before them.
Matthew what?
Matthew 17:2.
Okay, let's. Yeah, go ahead. All right, now we want to go down to verse 10. Go down to verse 10 in Matthew 17.
And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say thou the scribes that Elias must first come?"
Now Elias and Elijah is the same word.
Yes.
One way is Hebrew, the other way is Greek or English or something. Okay. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias or Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. So, Elijah must come. Elijah is going to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Brother Raymer, amen. Come, we have a seat for you. Amen. All right, so we're from Matthew 17. Elijah must come. So, let me ask you. Jesus asked them, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see?" Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? And so now I'll ask my generation, what will you see in Elijah? Do you expect to see an old man with a long robe and white hair and white whiskers? Who's this Elijah that's going to come? All right. He gave some clues. Let's go on. First he said Elijah will come, and then he said Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatever they listed, likewise also shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. So what you have here is three Elijahs. Do you know the Word of God comes on three different levels? If you can find it, you can find all three levels of the Word of God. And you can find prophecy on three levels. You have the natural. You have the spiritual. And the highest of all, you have the fullness. So, the natural Elijah was a historical man that lived many, many years ago. Mount Carmel, you know, Ahab, all of that, Jezebel,
kung kanto si Elias na nagpuyo na nagbawa na ito na sa unang mga taraan ng panahon na din nag-raise God na ito.
That was Elijah.
Mao sa niya sa papagyuduha kaguwab kanto kang Jezebel mo kanto siya si Elias.
Very powerful word of prophecy, very powerful man of prophet.
Adunay talagsaon kayo nagahom sa mga pagpropesiya.
Now Jesus called John the Baptist Elijah. It says they understood that he spoke of John the Baptist. When he said Elijah is come. And in another place, in Matthew, I think it is, he said, and if you can receive it, this is Elijah. But then he spoke of John the Baptist. And he said, John the Baptist is the greatest man born of woman. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So John was the greatest of the old order of prophets, born of woman. But those of the kingdom are not of the old born of woman order, but born of the Spirit. So we have a company of Elijah people, an Elijah company that is greater than John the Baptist.
Kita aguna tay mga kaubanan ng mga Elias nga kini siya gamhanan pani siya kay kan.
So you have past Elijah,
aguna tay nangagi nang Elias,
present Elijah named John the Baptist,
presente nga Elias nga mao si Juan Bautista,
future an Elijah company described here in Revelation chapter 11. Did I lose anybody? I didn't lose anybody. You must all be able to see the kingdom. You know, there's people that would have been lost on that. People say to me, Brother Mark, why are you always spiritualizing everything? And I might say, Sister, don't you know Jesus is always spiritualizing everything? When you call John the Baptist Elijah, you're spiritualizing him. You're giving the higher meaning. You're getting us up out of the natural level into a spiritual level. And he's even taking us up into the fullness that there is a greater Elijah coming. Alright, back here to the 11th chapter of Revelation. And hopefully Rudy will not have to remind me. We're coming back to the word power. And I will give power. Well, how many of you believe that we already have all the power we're ever going to need and we're ever going to get? I somewhat believe that, but I know in reality that I don't have all the power that I need. You say, well, Brother Mark, didn't he give it to the church? I mean, didn't he give it to the 12 and didn't he give it to the 70? But does that mean that I have it? And if it means that I have it, then why does it say he's going to give it? If it says he's going to give it, that means there's more to be given. He says, I will give. Now, what is this power that he's going to give? What does that mean? What is power? The word means authority. Authority. Yeah, your word is almost like that, isn't it?
Yes, authority.
If you went to look that up in Greek, you would find that the word is exousia. And then there's another word that sometimes is called power, and it's called dunamis. And that's a word like dynamite. Bang! Machine power. So let me go over to show you where he gave it to the 70, and we can talk about that a little bit. Before I do, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he told the disciples that they were to tarry in Jerusalem. I said that would be verse 8.
Let me see.
Is that verse 8? Yeah, I think it's verse 8. Yeah, but ye shall receive power. Yeah, we've got some chairs for Brother Nelson. Amen. Those of you that don't know, Brother Nelson lives far, far away. We're so glad he could come today. Oh, they made a seat for you, brother. Amen. We're talking about power. Amen. Where the Lord says, and ye shall receive power. Now, this power in Acts chapter
1
is dunamis. Now, this is the kind of power where you work works. Okay, you heal, cleanse the lepers, that kind of power. But the other kind of power, the authority power, if you're going to cast out devils, you need that kind of power. Because casting out the devils is not just healing and making well and diseases, that type of thing. Although I suppose sometimes it is, because sometimes diseases are caused by devils.
Pero,
So if we go over to Luke chapter 10.
Kung ato pa sa Lucas kapitulo 10.
Luke 10, somewhere around verse 19.
Versículo 19.
10. Now let me see where we want to go here.
Give us your power to bring on the serpents and scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall any man
spare. Now, what verse did you read, brother?
19.
Oh, yes. Yes. But let's go back a little bit. Now, remember, this is the 70. This is not the 12. This is the 70. And what does the 70, the number 70, mean insofar as a company of people? Where do we find that number first? You find that number first with Moses. You see, Moses was trying to do the job. I don't know, could we say as the apostle of God? And he needed help, and he didn't know how he needed help. But his father-in-law, Jethro, had the idea. And it turned out that Jethro had the mind of the Lord in this. And Jethro said, Moses, you need 70 elders to help you. So the requirements were pretty much the same as they are in the New Testament. They had to be men that were faithful, men that were mature, men that had their house in godly order. And so these men then became, they were elders, recognized elders in Israel, to carry out the business of watching over God's sheep. And so you have the same principle in the New Testament. The elders, plural word, elders. Now, we don't have 70 here today, but it doesn't matter, that's a spiritual number. So, we come back here to Luke. I find it very interesting what he said to them. He told them to go into the cities. Mm-hmm. And in verse 9, he said, heal the sick. And say to them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. So, what were they? We know what they were doing. They were healing the sick, but what were they preaching? What message were they preaching? They were preaching the message of the kingdom of God. He didn't tell them to go out and preach the prosperity message. He didn't necessarily tell them to go out and preach salvation message. He said, go show them the kingdom of God.
Sa pangakaw kamo, gipadayag ninyo ang gingharian sa Dios.
Do folks remember what Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew? The end time message, right after he said, "He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Then he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now I wonder why he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom." Go back and read Matthew 24 again. What was he preaching? He was telling them about the trouble that was coming. He was telling them about the deception and the false prophets that are coming. He was telling them that they need to flee to the higher ground when they see these things happening. I mean, he was preaching the strongest end time message that you'll find in the Bible. And it's this great and terrible day of the Lord that is going to bring in the fullness of the kingdom of God. So he told the 70 to go out, heal the sick, and preach that the kingdom of God is here. Amen. Now, he said some of them are not going to receive what you say. And when they don't hear it, shake off the dust of your shoes and go on to the next place. Nevertheless, let's read the last half of verse 11. "Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." In other words, if you don't believe what I'm saying, it doesn't matter. The kingdom is still going to come. Your city, you might reject. That won't stop the kingdom from coming. It's still coming. Amen. So he's saying, blessed be that city that receives it, and woe to that city that doesn't receive it. Amen. Okay. Verse 16. "He that heareth you, heareth me."
Ang dili magapatalinog kanino, kanawa kaninyo, dili nagpatalinog kanawa.
"He that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me." Now, what kind of authority is this? when God says to 70 men, you have the authority to preach the kingdom in my name. If they accept what you're saying, they're accepting me. If they reject you, they are rejecting me. Isn't that an awful lot of authority to be giving to men? What do you think? We would like to have all kinds of authority, wouldn't we? What would we do today if you knew that you had this very authority given to you this very day? What would you do? You'd be happy. How would you use it?
Abuse?
Did I hear the word abuse?
Yes, I see that.
Yes, you figured it out.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Men would abuse it. Do you know what men did back in the 1950s when God did give some men all this power? God gave this to some men in the 1950s. They made an organization, healing. They traveled around with great big tents, drew in thousands of people. People lined up and they healed them all. There was a man, somebody told me, that had been in, it was A.A. Allen, that he had a power to heal people that were in crutches. They said that he had collected a huge piles of crutches and wheelchairs. What happened to that man?
I don't know where he
went. He died a broken man.
Siya namatay nga wala gayo aning matupaway kalipay.
He became addicted to alcohol.
Okay. Humaliya wali mahubog siya. Yes, I know that story. I follow that story that man.
Another man, he built a big university. Put his name on the university. And he began to do the same that the other men do. He began to send out letters and tell people if they would send him money, you know. These men became very rich. They abused it. Many men that God has tried to give all this authority have abused it. But God said that He's going to give this to a people. We can call it an Elijah company. We can call it a two witnesses company. And he said, I'm going to give it to my witnesses. Let me talk about the difference between these two kinds of power.
Maghisgot ko kaninyo tungkol sa kalainan ng mga klase ng tao.
I got this picture in my mind one day. It was during the days of Kuwait, when Saddam Hussein sent his men down to take over Kuwait. And the Americans came in, and they came in with tanks. I call them desert tanks. And I saw a great line of these tanks rolling across the desert. Sand coming up from their tracks, you know, and they're rolling along at full speed. The big turret gun out in front, you know, blasting away. And I thought, this is dunamis power. Mighty dunamis power. But then I thought, but there's a man, the commander of the tank company has authority over all the tanks. He might be a little man. It doesn't matter how big he is, he's smaller than those tanks. And the tanks are coming towards him. And the men are in the tanks with their binoculars. And the man calls to the driver, "It's the colonel, sir." And the colonel puts his hand up like this. And the tanks all stop. Why? Because he has authority. He has that kind of power. What did I say that Greek word was for that kind of power?
No, it's not
dunamis.
Exousia.
Yeah, exousia power.
That's an exousia power.
And you see, the men in the tank, they recognize that power. Now, if we're going to be given that power, that means that the powers of darkness are going to have to recognize that power. Sometimes we make fools of ourselves. Rebuking the devil when we don't have the power to do it. We feel good, but nothing happens. Do you follow what I'm saying? And we say to ourselves, well, it says there in Luke, I give you power. Devil, I have power. And the devil just laughs. You can stomp your foot, you can yell as loud as you want. Until I recognize the authority, I am not going to yield. However, God says, I will give power. God said, I will give authority. he gave it to the 70 and they had it. And he gave such authority that he said, so much so that if they reject what you're saying, they are rejecting God. That's a lot of authority, isn't it, brother? Wow. Well, did you miss this part about how they're clothed in sackcloth? It didn't say anything about riding around in Mercedes cars, did it? Did it say anything about traveling in private jets? Did it say that I'll have 12 security guards with me? Did it say that they'll each one have their own television program? Come now, clothed in sackcloth. Now you're going to have to do a complete study on sackcloth to satisfy yourself, that you will know that's not a pleasant way to live. The way of sackcloth is a way of suffering. Do you remember the story? It just comes to me. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament? It was, I don't know the name of the king. It was the time when Jerusalem was under siege. And things had gotten so bad that a woman was cooking her baby. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was so bad, and somebody noticed that underneath the king's clothes, he had on his undergarment was sackcloth. Do you remember that? And I'm thinking that that king, he must have humbled himself before the Lord. Sackcloth, humility before the Lord. That's what it means. Now, it's all kinds of power that these people have. I mean, they can't even be killed. I mean, if anybody tries to kill them, fire. Come on, you've been reading Elijah in the Old Testament? If I be a servant of the Lord, let fire come on these men. And so the captain and his 50, second time, another captain and his 50, third time, the captain and his 50, hey, listen, I don't want any trouble. Look, I'm just the messenger here. Elijah, sir. Sir, your humble servant. The king would like to see you, sir. Okay, yeah. I mean, more pictures of Elijah, isn't it? You know, God didn't give that kind of power to everybody, did he? But what's the clincher here? I like this story. I like this power. And when I first started to understand this kingdom business, I said, yeah. I want to be in that company. Yes, yes, that's for me. Well, then I kept reading a little further. You know what the rest says here? It says that they lay their life down. They go, they follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb goes. Now, what does it mean when you find Lamb in the book of Revelation? Lamb always means Lamb that was slain. So if you want, I'm recruiting here today. If you want to be in the Two Willis Company, we're taking applications. Be sure and read the bottom line. The fine print. Because you need to know what you're signing up for. I still want to be part of it. There isn't anything else worth being part of. Now you're going to ask me, after you think about this, well, why isn't this just two men? Why does it have to be a company of men? Well, first of all, who would these two men be? Do you think it's going to be the old historical Elijah and Moses coming back? You know, we don't believe in reincarnation. And besides, didn't Jesus say that the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist? Whom he named Elijah. So I say it's a company of people. I hate to admit how carnal I used to be. I hate to tell you. I remember I used to sit, I wonder who these two are going to be. Oh yeah, probably Elijah. I don't sit and think that way anymore. Yes, the world is going to have a big Christmas party. They're going to lay in the streets for 3.5 days. Does it say three? No, it says, 3.5 days. And everybody is having a big party and sending presents to one another. You know, I often wondered, well, how is it that the whole world could see this? I think the whole world has access to television. You know, there's the big cameras, CNN, BBC, Fox News, Al-Qaeda, Al Jazeera. I almost called it Al-Qaeda. Al Jazeera. CNN, yeah. All the cameras are there. The reporters are out there. Well, Jake, here we are standing at the bodies, you know, and the flies are beginning to come, and, you know, and they're giving all the description, everything, you know. But suddenly, the voice from God. And they stand to their feet. And the men and the cameras. We just don't know how to describe this. Back there in New York, they've all stood up. Oh, not only that, they're rising up. The party is over. And the kingdom of God is come. Now, let me just take a minute, because I should have started in the beginning of this. I started in verse 3, but I should have started in verse 1, because it says here, "And there was given me a reed like a rod." Go ahead and read the first verse. Yes. Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So, John is what? John is a man, is he not?
Yes,
he's an apostle. He's a very old man. He's a living man. He's not dead. He's not a spirit. He's a man. He's a minister of the gospel of God. And to this minister, this human minister, the angel gives him an instruction. He tells this living man to measure the temple of God. Now, what kind of talk is this? Measure the temple of God. What temple was he supposed to measure? Well, you know, the tabernacle of Moses was long fallen down, long ago. And by the time John had written this, it was far past 70 AD when the Romans had destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. So God is not talking about any natural temple. He's talking about the spiritual house of God. He is talking about the people of God. And he's saying to the ministry, and I believe he's saying the same thing to the ministry today, rise up and measure the people of God. Now, how do you measure the people of God? What kind of reed? What kind of metric stick do you have to measure the people of God? To what do you measure yourself up against? In other words, let a man examine himself, but on what basis? What basis do I give you to examine yourself? I give you the Word of God. And thereby, the ministry giving the Word of God to the house of God causes the house to be measured. But in this verse, he's also, remember this morning we talked about a point of demarcation. The closing of a door marks a separation from those who are shut in, from those who are shut out. So he's making another division. He says the examination is to be done in the holy place church. The holy place is where the golden altar is. The golden altar is the last stop before the priest goes through the veil and enters and comes before the mercy seat. So this word of examination that we are even preaching today is for a holy place church people. You're here today because I believe that God has called you as a holy place people. And he makes a very definitive statement here. In the second verse, you can read it in your tongue if you like.
Apan ayaw pagsukda ang tawanan sa gawa sa templo. Pasagdi ka na, kaya di katulyan na ka na, nato sa ganasuran. Ugang bala ang syudad ilang pagayatak-yatakang sulot sa kapatan o duha kabulan.
He is saying that there is another church.
Busa ng sulti siya, naroon ay pailain na iglesia.
Leave it out.
Sagdi na.
They've had their chance.
Kaya doon na sila ipanahon.
What the Lord is saying is that I cannot defend the outer court. I will only defend the holy place and the most holy place. Because that is the place under the shadow of the Almighty. That is the secret place of the Most High. That is the come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy door for a little while. Until the indignation be overpassed. There is a church then. What does he say? He said it's given to the Gentiles. Gentiles spiritually means the world.
hulagway sa kalibutan.
Paul said, ye were one time Gentiles. You lived like Gentiles. You acted like Gentiles. Carrying out every lust that you desired. But now are ye seed of Abraham. Amen. So this church system, this outer court church system, will be given for 3.5 years to be trampled underfoot by the world. It doesn't say they won't be saved, eternal life and all that. But there are many, many, many of them are going to have to lose their life. There's the moon. This is the moon church. The moon will turn to blood. This is offensive. What I've told you today is very offensive in many church circles. The very understanding of the parable of the virgins is very offensive. I didn't realize how offensive it was until I told a man of the denominations the meaning of that parable. He was very offended. So I think we can stop here. I think you have the picture. It is during, this is talking about the time of great tribulation. There are two places to be. You can be outer court, or you can be holy place. And by the way, don't get too settled in the holy place either. Because the abomination of desolation is going to drive you out of there too. And be put on notice, there's only one more place to flee. And that is through the veil. We're on the cusp of fleeing into that place. I always feel when I'm here, this is my last meeting with most of you. There are things happening in the world that could bring this down anytime. You know what's happening with North Korea. These people could do anything. They could do anything. It could set off a nuclear war. They have the ability to do it. I need to know that if we can never come back, you have the word. You have the understanding of the word. And you will preach the word. And you will carry the torch. And hopefully you don't need the likes of me. If we can come back, we'll come back. If we can't, you're strong enough. And you're mighty. And you too